Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are here with another episode of Hunt the Truth. Actually, our supposed last episodes of Hunt the Truth. We got a double whammy this week. The end of Benjiro's trek for Hunt the Truth. Some pretty big developments, if I do say so myself.
I would say huge. Like, that was ridiculous.
Massive developments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as for the most part, we have, I mean, like we've said over the past 4 or 5 weeks, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And I don't know how they do it over and over and over again, but they went out with a bang on this one for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
For, I guess, just a little bit of a recap. Last time we saw Ben was he was on Bliss checking out a server, an Oni server that had a bunch of evidence on it regarding the attack on Biko, with enough information to clear Chief's name of the whole incident that happened, and basically pin it on the UEG for kind of aiding terrorists for taking out Sakibo and all that stuff with the UEG automated denial of a request for
essentially gross negligence.
Right, yeah.
Basically.
So with all that collected, he's making his way off of the planet and he's contacting everyone that he knows. He gets in contact with Anthony Petrovsky and giving him a time and a date to show up to, and it turns out in the last episode, which really isn't an episode of Hunt the Truth per se, but it's kind of like an add-on, but there's this TV show or this news network, ECB, which I guess is kind of like Earth.
I would call it like BBC or...
Of Earth
or something like
that. Something like that, yeah. Ben tells Anthony that he's found basically this gold mine of information that's going to help clear the chief and help stick it to Oni once and for all. And Anthony is like, dude, we tried. And the senators didn't bite for what we gave them. And Ben's like, no, this is different. I have all the evidence now to completely clear the chief and completely pin it on the UEG and Oni for all the atrocities that they've committed against the other colonies, against the kids they abducted for the Spartan Project, everything. So he's just all gunning for it. And eventually he convinces Anthony Petrovsky to show up at this place at the designated time that he's still on board for taking down Oni, for everything that Oni did to him. So that checkbox has been cleared. The next checkbox that he checks off is getting in touch with Ray to back up all the files that he just pulled off of the Oni server that was left unguarded, and B, to just kind of go over stuff with him to make sure that he could kind of corroborate everything with that he got, make sure that everything matches up. And we also find out that Ray had also been victim of Oni's ransacking, that they completely gutted his house, everything, but he managed to get his wife and kids out of there safely, and they're doing all right. But at this point, there's no turning back for him, so he's obviously on board with whatever Ben is doing as well.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder, though. It's like, after, like, where is he staying? Like, did he officially say where he's going? Like, he has to be off-world,
I don't think he specifically said.
He never said it. Yeah, like, he said he got his wife and kid or kids out of there, whatever it was, and he never said where he is.
I don't know. Regardless, I'm glad they're out there. I mean, could you imagine the cover story of, like, a wife and kids getting killed because of information like that? Like, that's really
sick. Yeah, it's like one thing to be, you know, this, you know, the bachelor pad getting cleaned out, but when you have a wife and a kid, I can't remember if it was a kid or if it was kids.
We'll just say family, I guess, for the ease of conversation.
Yeah, when you have a family, that's it's a whole different level.
Pretty messed up what they'd be willing to do to little kids and everything, just to wipe out any sort of information they can get rid of.
One of the things, too, with everything we've gone through is that Oni's going to probably spare no expense to making sure that whatever information has been out there that's been leaked is cleaned up afterwards. So they're gonna, just like they cleaned up after Ben, they're probably gonna clean up after Ray. And I guess you would assume that the same thing would be for Petra as well.
You would think. We're going to jump.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to be jumping around this like crazy, especially we have two episodes. And episode 12, it was half of the rest of the episode, so we don't really have much to cover.
No, not really.
This is basically Ben preparing for his last big stand against Oni and the UEG and everything that he's found out that Oni's been covering up.
The thing that really stuck with my mind when I was listening to it was when he got the message saying, "You're done." That was what was sticking with me the entire time. He is, "No, you're done."
Right.
And I was like, yeah, dude, you're pretty much screwed from there. It's like anything that you're going to get your hands on, like, it's just going to come right back. I mean, Oni's too big of an organization to take out one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's too much going on. Like, they have too much that they can do to get rid of that one problem. I mean, granted, he was with an organization, but they're not as big as Oni.
Right. I think another part, too, is you look at everything that we've seen through all the episodes, everything through just Oni going through hiring actors to fill certain roles and kind of putting in this trail of fabrications and lies and whatnot for that Ben just happened to stumble upon. I mean, it's kind of like someone in that position, and especially for Ray, someone who's been in the past someone to just stick to the story as only you wanted it, and then all of a sudden kind of go off grid and really pursue something like this. It makes you wonder, why is it so all of a sudden is he able to find all these kind of holes and loose threads to the story? And as we find out, there's a reason for that in the very last episode of Hunt the Truth. So with that, I think the last thing that he was doing before kind of wrapping up his part of the podcast is he got a call from Petra. She was following up on the lead that he called
Petra.
No, I thought Petra called him.
The way I remember it is he called Petra, and I don't know, either way, him and Petra talked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was all like apologetic and like thankful for the lead and saying that he found the gold mine of information at this place. And Petra was like, "I hope this is the way the story just ends of you coming and like thanking me obsessively and whatnot." And they had a little kind of joking back and forth, and she finally kind of got down to business. Like, "So what specifics did you find? Did you find the stuff about Biko?" And Ben comes back and he says he found everything, and he's going to go full distribution on this story. And he's going all out. He's not, risking.
There's nothing stopping him this time around. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
He's not risking having anyone else talk about it. He's not risking getting to anyone else to kind of spread the rumor that he has all this. He's going full steam ahead. He wants to get this out as quick as possible to clear the chief's name for the attacks on Biko and just finally pin to Oni and the UEG once and for all of everything that they've done against the outer colonies, against humanity, against the kids that they pulled on for the Spartan 2 program and everything. So he managed to contact an old journalism buddy of his and get a primetime spot on ECB, which, like we said earlier, is kind of like the Earth 24-hour news network, or at least that's kind of what it seems like.
Maybe a talk show?
Well, ECB was the station. The talk show, I'm drawing a blank on the talk show right now. I know they said it, but I can't remember it.
Right.
The Galactic CNN.
There you go.
This is going to be something where everyone in the inner colonies could possibly see this and be tuning in, which was a big deal, especially when Ben has all this information that he got from the Oni server and everything that he has just building up to this moment. All the sacrifices that have been made, the thing with Mashok. I miss Mashok.
That sucks so bad.
Yeah. I really miss Mashok. And everything with just his house being ransacked and cleared out. And then the same thing happened to Ray. And then the state that Oni left Anthony in just after being one of the ODSTs that got beat up by John and everything. He was ready to just go all out and lay it all on the line. Pharaoh was willing to do the same. And he was ready to step up and, like he said in the last episode, he was done seeing his friends die or get put in the black bag, and it was time for him to make his stand. So with that, that was pretty much the last proper Hunt the Truth episode.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, from there, it was nothing but the ECB news channel deal.
Myself, I kind of compared it to like that final goodbye before you go on a suicide mission.
It's pretty much how that worked. I mean, he didn't know what was going to happen.
Kind of probably figured that some backlash might happen that might result in injury upon him, be it physical or otherwise.
Yeah. Well, like Pharaoh said, too, she was about ready to go, just risk her life for
the cause. She was willing to lay down her life for his to keep doing what he was doing.
Yep. So moving into the final episode of Hunt the Truth, episode 13 is the big showdown, so to speak, of Ben's interview or debrief on ECB. So he was given the primetime spot. Basically, when he got on, he was immediately interrupted by news that came in from Biko with information that cleared the chief, cleared the Sangheili, and made it evidence put forward that it was Sapien Sunrise who, in fact,
were the enemies at that point.
Yep. Basically, blew wide open the conspiracy before Ben had the chance.
Right.
Yep.
Without actually blowing open the conspiracy.
Correct. And everything that Ben had found in terms of like footage and everything from the ONU servers, it's like, oh, well, they finally decided to come out with this evidence that supports that, yeah, it was Sapien Sunrise who actually killed, what's the dude's
Innocence.
Name? Yeah, the Innocence and Sekibo, and trying to interfere with the peace talks.
And that the chief was completely innocent, rather than trying to frame him like we had heard the previous episode.
I really wish details would have came out that he was trying to save him. You know what I mean? Like, if that actually would have came out, that would have made it sound a hell of a lot better than what they were doing beforehand. It's kind of stupid. I mean, just to put out, oh, yeah, CP and Sunrise was out there, actually the bad ones doing it. The chief was just kind of there, taking him out, doing his thing. So it was Sangheili. They were just jumping all over the place, doing their thing.
Right. But when you're in the middle of an ONI investigation, trying to rat out Maul, like Sapien Sunrise, keep that stuff up under wraps. And throughout this whole interview, there's like key points where it's just like it gets worse and worse for Ben. So we start off where we have this big announcement that there's this news that came in that is clearing Chief and the Sangheili that they're completely innocent and Sapien Sunrise was behind the innocent killing and the Sekibo assassination and trying to interrupt the peace talks and everything, which Ben had found out. He found out that Sapien Sunrise were responsible for this, but Ben had also found out that part of that was UEG involvement with aiding Sapien Sunrise and trying to make that deal not happen as well. So everything that Ben had with the files that he got, he had Ray send over to this news network. They were still going through it. They're still trying to filter through the data and verify all the sources and whatnot. There was a little technical hiccup for a while they were trying to open the files, and then Ben couldn't open the files for a little bit, but they eventually got the video of Dion Govender doing his acting spiel, like getting the voice down, everything of him trying to play on the little pools of Ben where he found a little profile of what kind of struck him, all the little pressure points and whatnot.
That was a pretty interesting part, in my opinion, hearing him being able to change his voice like that.
Yeah.
Like going into that, John was one of those yada, 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 yada type things. Like it was pretty
You're doing
neat.
So well. Why'd you stop?
Yeah, it's like maybe you're Dion Govender.
Maybe, man. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have.
We were doing pretty good, though. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, my voice is just shot.
Still, even then.
The next thing that kind of came up, actually, you may need to help me here a little bit, Ian, because I've only listened to this twice. Yeah. It's been a busy week here at E3.
I can imagine. Not really, but you know what I mean.
Right, right. I know exactly what you mean. But after the Dion video, wasn't there, I forget, was it, he was asking for, like, was that when Anthony came in, or was there something else before that?
I think at first he asked after shoot, I'm trying to remember now.
He was talking about how, like, yeah, all the information from showing that the chief was innocent and that Sapien Summer was responsible and all that, but he was going on about how the UEG was actually aiding the terrorists in trying to frame the chief.
Yeah, there you go. And he was asking after Ray Kurzig, but in this point, he never gets a direct answer.
Yeah, I think through the whole thing, like, Ray never entered the scene. There are key points where it's like Ray is fine and everything. His family is safe and he's safe. And he actually corroborates another part of the story later on as well. But everything that we see just unraveling is Ben's story and Ben's framework of trying to frame UNG and Oni is the piece unraveling. Not necessarily the piece that Sapien Sunrise was responsible for everything that happened on Biko, but the whole thing about Oni and the UEG trying to frame Chief.
Everybody was a bunch of scumbags in this whole deal. Like, everybody yeah, was just a bunch of idiots, like, just going out there and just doing the dirty work, trying to get all the good guys out of it, you know?
Right.
Stupid. Oni.
Well, I mean, I will say, in Oni's defense, they started out trying to be, build this positive profile for the Chief. The way I've seen it is basically, the second Pharaoh leaked that video on Biko, and because they had to kind of cover the UEG's ass, they kind of had to throw the Chief to the wolves.
Yeah.
But then they found their opportunity not to, while still blaming Sapien Sunrise and getting the UEG in the clear by conveniently not mentioning that they ignored a request for additional security.
And to that point, though, with the denial, there's no particular reason to say that it was the UEG that was denying them. It could have been that Sapien Sunrise was generating like an auto-denier blocking communications and whatnot. Because we do, I mean, remember like 3 or 4 episodes ago when there was almost no external contact to Biko for a while?
Well, yeah, but I figured that was because, you know, someone at the UEG had completely cut them off. As we, you know, they talk about later, like the waypoint buoys were decommissioned by Oni. That's why the outer colonies were cut off, and somebody else did that to Biko. You know, probably somebody in the UEG. That's what I always figured.
Right.
Well, like, I just kind of figured that it was a genuine screw up by the UEG, because as Ben points out in the episode, I'm trying to remember, I think it was like episode 9 maybe when they talked about that, where, you know, the Sapien Sunrise prior to that had basically been at bake sales handing out cupcakes that say, you know, screw the Sangheili.
Right. All the posters.
All the cupcakes, cookies. Sangheili cookies everywhere.
I want to see those cookies. I want a Sangheili cookie.
Split jaw cookies for everybody.
Yep. Split those jaws. Show them you mean business. This is what I think of you guys, Sangheili. Yeah.
That's mildly.
I mean, the cookie in front of you. What do you think of that?
He's gnawing on Sangheili's skulls as he's like saying "screw him." That's a little disturbing. It's a little messed up.
Okay,
but anyway,
that's what you got to do for a Sangheili. You know?
Oh gosh!
Oh boy!
We're becoming cannibals.
Well, technically, it's not cannibalism.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
You're eating species. You're eating other intelligent species. That's horrible.
So it's just messed up. It's messed up. It's not cannibalism, but it's still messed up.
That was not me.
True. Anyway, I'm getting off the topic.
But as far as like the rest of the story goes, we had the thing about where Ben was trying to pin UEG kind of cooperating with Sapien Sunrise and like denying Sekibo any aid, where it turns out that Master Chief probably was that aid, where they were facing the extremists of Sapien Sunrise and they couldn't actually get UNSC forces in there, so they had to send in the big bad Spartan. So we have that part of the story kind of unfolding, and then after that, I think that's where Anthony Petrovsky comes into play.
Oh no, he says, you know, he tries to do the, you know, corrupt, say the UEG, you know, basically let this happen, and the chief came in after the fact, but then he shows that video of the guy pretending to be Dion, and he starts saying, you know, so the interviewer's like, Kessler's like, well, why would they want to fake all this information? And Ben says, well, because the Spartan 2 program kidnapped kids and experimented on them to augment them. And it's at this point that they fought, you know, like as Ben's making this huge revelation that that Ben's files were finally, you know, they finally finished vetting them and whatnot. And, you know, and Kessler says, well, from what we've seen, all your files are fake.
Right, right.
They were created within the last, you know, that particular interview was from, or was created 41 years ago, and all your file are is dated as 41 years ago, and all your files were created within the last 2 months. So.
Right.
Shady crap yet again.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's probably what those corrupt files flooding Ben's pad were, you know, just making sure that it overwrote whatever kind of metadata was already there to make it look like, you know, the data had been faked by Ben.
Yeah, we don't know because the integrity.
Yeah, we don't know. That's just like, but yeah. So anyone who thought that Bliss was a trap was pretty spot on. And it only goes down from there, because then that's where, you know, he starts asking after Anthony Petrosky, and that's where he comes on.
Right. So at this point, we have, I think just before that, though, Kessler was basically saying, are you trying to come on my show and like, convince us that of everything that you have here, even though, like, all this information is fake? And then that's when Ben is like, get Ray on the show, and that's when he's like, well, calling into us now is Ray Kersick.
Or no, Anthony Petrovsky. Yeah.
Anthony
Petrovsky.
Calls in, and
it's like, it's suddenly looking up for Ben. It's like, yes, we finally got Ray, or we finally got, you know, you got me saying it. We finally got Petrovsky. Everything's going to be good. And then, I'll let you take over again.
Yeah, hit the fan.
Then, basically, Anthony completely turned his back on Ben and testified that he was doing an undercover op, a special assignment from Oni to basically rat out this traitor sect that was Sapien Sunrise, and that he contacted Ben early on in Ben's investigation to kind of feed his story, and that everything that he told Ben as far as he was one of the ODSTs that had to fight John. He met John personally, and he knew about the kids being augmented or actually seeing that happening. All that was fake, and all that was to just feed the extremist view that Ben was putting together that was being kind of used in Sapien Sunrise's favor to eventually expose them, which turns out it did. So everything that Anthony had told Ben basically doubled back on, and you hear Ben start to say, no, that's not right, Ben. What did Oni do to you?
Yeah.
Like, what'd they do to you too?
It really makes me wonder what they did, you know? Like,
it's either like what he did, or as some people have brought up, and I don't really lean this way, but it's still an interesting thought. Is Anthony actually telling the truth for the first time in this scene?
Yeah.
Was he actually an undercover for Oni at some point? I personally don't lean that way because he did testify before the senators in the earlier episode, but it's something interesting to think about.
Major, major plot twist, if that is the case.
Yeah. I could buy it.
I mean, I could buy it, but like going back to your, like, he went in front of the Senate and like he was just pouring out everything that he basically, like, you know, everything that he did, everything he witnessed. And it's like that to me spells that that was what's going on. Oni, obviously, was holding a gun to his head the entire time. Like that, there's no other explanation apart from that.
And then, like you said, then if that's the case, you know, that Oni's got a gun to his head, what did they threaten? Because earlier in the episode, it's like, I got nothing left to lose. What can Oni take from me?
Right.
Apparently, they found something. Or maybe something to give him. Who knows?
Right.
Money talks.
I mean, he said before, that, though, that they were ordered under threat of a court-martial that they couldn't say anything about the Spartan program. So, there's a lot of questions right now of whether or not Anthony Petrovsky is that ODST, because if we go back to the books, everything that he said is basically spot on with the story in Fall of Reach.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings the question, is he actually there, and now is he playing along with Oni?
Or is he just another actor? Or someone that's made an imposter to somebody that was going to meet him? Or
so it's kind of hard to say without seeing kind of the visual like battle scars that he said he had.
Right, right.
I mean, with the audio podcast and everything, it's hard to really kind of vet that.
But. Well, I mean, you got Ben's approval from it. I'm sure he's seen him. You know, when he was talking to the senators or whatever, you clearly seen that he had scars and everything else. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even further, it's like Mishak found this guy. You know, he didn't contact Ben. Mishak found him and referred him over there. So I'm inclined to believe that Anthony was, at the start, genuine with his story.
It makes me wonder this, too. And I don't, like, this is me just rambling and thinking like I usually do.
Yeah.
What if Mishak honestly helped set this whole thing up? That's the reason why no one's ever heard from him again.
That would be crazy. Especially because then you'd have to figure Pharaoh was part of that setup, too.
What happens if she was?
Because I have trouble believing that she...
Like, I said, what happens if she was? Like, there's always another side of the story. Like, we never got the full story as to why Pharaoh was all of a sudden wanting to do this. Like, we just knew that she was doing everything in her power to do it. But what was her reasoning? Like, power? Was it this? Was it that? Like... For all we know, she could be working for another organization that's willing to take Oni down that maybe split off. Maybe they know secrets from Oni that we don't. You know, there's a list of everything that could be going on right now. And I'm like, it would suck to say if Mishak actually did set Ben up like that, given the fact that Mishak was my favorite character out of all of Hunt the Truth so far. But it makes you think. It really does. It makes you think if that is the case.
Yeah. Like, what is the truth? It is, you know, what is the truth?
Right. At this point, what the hell is the truth? Like, everything is just spinning right
Nobody
now.
Knows. Yeah.
There's a reason why this series is called Hunt the Truth.
Yeah.
True.
But I will say this. I think we're probably looking into, like, very much that Mishak was genuine and Pharaoh was genuine because Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh was known to Petra. Oni would have to playing a hell of a long game to, you know, set all that up to get that perfect end game. As we saw, as it played out. So I would think that Mishak was genuine, that Pharaoh was genuine, and that Anthony was originally genuine, and then Oni found the right pressure points for him.
Yeah, is what it sounds like.
I really want to know what that is.
I think we all do.
There's so much stuff that we want to know.
Like a huge stack of credit. Like, what, honestly, is credits? I know it's their currency, but do they have money? Like, is it coins? Is it money? Or is it just digital?
It's credit. It's all digital.
Oh, is it just digital?
It's kind of weird. Like, in most of the media, it's implied that, you know, they do a purely digital currency. You know, like, when back in Fall of Reach, you know, Halsey offers John the coins. Like, this is what we used to use as currency. But then in Halo 3 ODST, there are the phones are actually spitting out coins. Yeah.
Yeah, tokens for the poor people.
I was going to say, because then, what's her name? Sadie, she's like paying in cash for her ticket on the train at the very start of Sadie's story. So it must have some kind of paper currency left over. And I'd imagine, especially like outer colonies, would probably use something akin to a paper or coin currency based on some of their other less advanced stuff.
Well, and for some of them, it's like, it's a currency that is under the radar. It's not tracked by all these this government monitoring and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As far as, I mean, that's for lack of a better word, that's your drug money. Basically, it's your black market money.
Blood money.
Yep.
There you go. So yeah, I would say the same thing where Anthony was genuine up to a point. And then I want to say Ray, I'm not sure where Ray fits actually.
I think Ray might have been disappeared.
He could be the wild
beginning
card.
A nice
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was truthful, though.
Yeah, especially when we get to with what we get at the very end of episode 13, without spoiling that just yet.
I think he's genuine as well. It just makes me wonder why he didn't show up.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's probably at Midnight Facility at this point.
Probably.
If not a few other people that we've seen in this audio show,
they're gone. They're like, nope, we're out. We're done.
Right.
Screw it.
So after Anthony's whole spiel about this is all a secret op that they were investigating Sapien Sunrise and everything that was going on with Biko and everything, he just completely backfired on Ben, and Ben was saying, "What are you doing, Anthony? What did they do to you?" And eventually, they cut his mic off and let Anthony finish. So after he's done with all that, and they bring Ben back on, and he's like, "So what do you have to say in light of what Anthony said?" And he starts going on, "Oni did something to him. Yada 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 yada."
The usual conspiracy theory going on.
Right. Yeah. And they're trying to play to Ben. It's like, why? What kind of agenda are you trying to push here? And Ben's insistent upon getting Ray on the show. Where is Ray? He should have sent you the files. And they're saying that we did receive the files. And in addition to receiving the files, they corroborated that everything that had been done with the files, there's this whole trail that ties Ben to a lot of similar activities with Sapien Sunrise.
Yep. And then Ben's all like, it's like, I downloaded these 2 days ago on a server on Bliss. And then Kessler's all.
And then he's like,
so you're saying you found this on a glass planet?
Yep.
We probably all put out that quote, glass planets have bad records.
And then he brings up video footage of Ben walking to that base.
I know that's had, like, I wonder how that happened. Like, I honestly think that had to have been staged, honestly, because.
Well, the whole Bliss thing was set up.
Right. It was bait.
Yeah.
It was bait designed for Ben to take.
So Petra had to have been on it too, then.
No. No,
she wasn't.
Somebody fed her the source. They just weren't sure if, like, she was going to take it or if she would pass it along to Ben, though I'm sure they figured she'd pass it along to Ben.
Then she obviously knows who that source is. Like, she has to know who that was then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we should discuss that when we get to the end of that, so we don't jump ahead. Because I do have some thoughts about that, but I'll save that for that. Yeah, so we find they show the footage of the bunker, and then Ben, and they say, you know, the police raided it yesterday and found all these weapons with aftermarket mods.
The same mods used by the Sapien Sunrise people on Biko.
Yep.
That assassinated Sekibo. Exact same mods.
Yep.
Plants.
Versus zombies?
Oh my god.
Sorry. It's been E3 week.
Oh.
In addition to that information, though, there's another record that they showed of Sapien Sunrise going to his apartment and then them, like, while he was there, and they were found dead. And shortly after, funds from an account that were tied to Sapien Sunrise, specifically Pharaoh, and kind of jumping back, that bunker was a hideout spot that was tied directly to Pharaoh as well. So all these things that Ben has done is tied directly to Sapien Sunrise and to ECB, to Kessler, to him and everyone there. It's like, okay, this guy is obviously tied in directly with Sapien Sunrise, where, I mean, we know through the podcast,
by extension, the attack on Beagle.
Right. Because the funds that came from directly from a Sapien Sunrise account to go to Bliss to find this server, this Oni server, and then you have the mods that went directly to that were tied directly to the attack on Biko, and then the two Sapien Sunrise guys who Ben said were Oni agents who were trying to come kill him, all that stuff, and like everything just completely backfires on Ben at this point.
And stuff just keeps getting worse and worse, and Ben's all, you know, where's Ray? Why haven't we seen him? He was supposed to meet me here. Kessler says, Kessler says, Ray's fine. Spoke with him yesterday.
Corroborated the story. He's the one that said, that gave us all this additional information, tying everything that you had done to Sapien Sunrise, to Pharaoh.
That Ray didn't give them that. They just said that Ray was, that they had spoken with him yesterday, and he had provided him with just the details that were that they vetted as fabricated.
Oh, okay.
The other stuff was just, the other stuff was like police reports and security footage that they never say exactly how. I'd imagine Oni probably gave it to them. Maybe not directly through Oni, though.
So was the additional, I guess the additional stuff was the ECB journalists going and digging through and seeing those ties?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because, you know, whenever in journalism, whenever you get like a story like this, you're going to have to vet the information and find out as much as you can.
Right.
Yeah.
they vet that and they find just damning evidence that says Ben Durow
is
part of this terrorist organization. Yeah.
Pretty much.
And Ben,
and I'm sure Oni, you know, helped them out behind the scenes.
Possibly.
Led them in the right direction.
And Ben's all trying to defend himself, saying that this is typical Oni cover up, lies, everything. And earlier on, he says, why would I falsify information and then try to come online on a show like this foolishly and try to like claim it was false and just put the nail in my own coffin? And they basically say, I don't know what kind of messed up world you think you're living in.
Yep.
And eventually, we get to the point where just everything that, that happens is just enough for them to call it off. And eventually, they say, Ben, is there, like, what's the big thing that you're trying to get at here?
What are you getting at? Is basically going on. What's your purpose?
What's your big revelation that that you're trying to tell everyone so we can get this over with? And Ben's like, I'm tired of all this and
getting sick of this.
And the other guy is like, yeah, me too. The feeling's mutual. And eventually, like, everything just comes out where Ben just kind of breaks down and is like, Chief is my hero, and I want Chief to be everyone's hero. And everything that Oni did to kids and outer colonies is inhumane. It's
sick.
Yeah.
They need to be stopped.
Yep.
And that's pretty much where Kessler cuts off his mic. And then he gets dragged away by, I think they said federal agents or federal police or something.
Taken away into federal custody.
That was Oni.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, extension of Oni, basically.
That was Oni. Right. They're like, you're done.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they had like actual federal, like the future equivalent of the FBI arrest him or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Oni will take him and blackmail him at a undisclosed time.
Yep. Then Casely, the last thing that he says before the end of the broadcast, he's like, this is the one thing that we try to avoid on this program, having like bad intel and bad journalism, but that's the risk of doing a live interview.
Yep.
We are sorry that you had to experience this, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. And then since you're so eager to talk about the Petra part, I'll let you take over that, Ian.
It ultimately ends Petra revealing, you know, this episode was revealed to be posted by Petra, and she kind of reveals that Ben has been put into custody. He's probably going to disappear. Slowly, Oni will bring back online the Waypoint buoys and bring the outer colonies back into the fold, and everything will go back to normal, as if it never happened. And, however, though, she did get the files from Ray. Ray forwarded them to, you know, a bunch of people, just, you know, including this organization, including this ECB broadcast. But Ray also sent them to Petra as backup. And now that she's seen the proof, she is going to continue the hunt for the truth. And I honestly can't remember right now what I wanted to say about that.
Let me see if I can jog in memory. She goes on to say probably that everything that Ben had done, he was sloppy, he was in over his head, and that the way that she operates is going to be very much like Oni, and that she doesn't really care about compassion and all that stuff. Like, she wants to get the story out, she'll get it out. And everything,
carve the truth, is basically what she said.
There you go. Pretty much. That's the sequel series.
Were you going to say something about the incentives for everybody and not for her?
No, I wasn't going to. I was actually going to say, I remember now, it was about her, like the source, because we were talking about who that source was that forwarded to her. I have a feeling, you know, if Hunt the Truth does continue at some point, that would probably be the first person she's going to hunt down is that source. Because I'm sure she feels that source has some splaining to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's going to find that source, though. I think that could go backwards, though, because if she's going to try to find the source, that can kind of go back on her, because if she's trying to find it, they pretty much know that she's up to something now, too. Wouldn't you think?
Potentially.
So when?
Potentially, unless, you know, she, as you said, unless she kind of acts in that ruthless manner that Oni acts in.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, thank you for telling me that, Mr. Mysterious Source, but you screwed over a friend of mine, so here's my gun to your head.
Yep. She came in barging into Ben's apartment with the threat of killing him, so she's not ready, or she's more than ready to pop a cap if she has to.
that's another sequence I want to see done when she does that for the source. You're like, oh, you want to kill? Yeah. You're done. Game over.
So we'll see something, I think. I have a feeling it's not quite done yet.
I don't think so, but the only reason why I say that it may be done is, didn't they say that they weren't, didn't someone along the line, someone say that they were not going to continue it?
Well, yeah, like this was like up to E3, this was it.
Right.
Yeah.
This was it. So I don't know if like for this, like she said that she's like, this is Hunt the Truth, like for her, this is her Hunt the Truth now. So I don't know if that's going to be something that like this particular piece is done and that's going to be something that gets picked up in the game or some other thing that comes down the road. I don't know. It seems like too open-ended to just leave here.
Social media. Do it now.
Could be that too.
I think they purposely left it open, just like they might continue it because if it's popular enough kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like...
They can't end it like that though. They can't do that.
It's better than a definitive ending, I'll say that. Because definitive kind of... I don't know. I've never been a fan of endings that tie up all the loose ends.
I can't.
Depending on the situation.
I can't stand cliffhangers. Like, I can't do it. Like,
I wouldn't really call this one a cliffhanger, though. Because Ben's story was finished.
True.
Yeah, it was finished, but they also left it out to where she's going to continue what she does. You know, she's going to do it the way she's going to do it. With Oni, but, like that way, I mean, but it's like,
see, I'd say it's a cliffhanger in the same way that Halo 3 would have been a cliffhanger.
They're wanting us to know more. Like that's driving us to figure out, you know, what's she gonna do that she's gonna do differently, and like how that's gonna change things. Like I want to know more. I mean, like I'm not gonna be out there like I just I don't know. They can't leave it like this.
Yeah, I could still see like some of this being picked up in the terminals, if not in Halo 5 directly. How cool would it be to see Petr Janáček in Halo 5 at some point?
So I think it could go on, but I mean, it could pick up anywhere.
I hope it does.
It honestly could be anything. And like to your point, Bio, you see it in TV shows all the time too, where it's like it gets to the end of the season. And granted, like for TV shows, we know that there's cutoffs of whether or not it's going to be funded for another season, yada, yada, yada. So there are, and TV shows are cliffhangers, and there's some TV shows have pretty big cliffhangers. I think everyone's perfect idea would be Lost.
I was going to say Star Trek. There was a season, I believe season 5 ended with, you know, Riker about to kill Jean-Luc Picard after he'd been assimilated by the Borg. And that was the end of the season with no idea if it would be picked up for another season or if, yeah, or what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I hate cliffhangers. Any sort of cliffhangers.
See, I'd only call Hunt the Truth a cliffhanger in the same way that Halo 3's legendary ending was a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know, there's a conclusion and a potential open. It's a conclusion with a potential opening, but not so much like, you know, Halo 2, what are you doing here, Chief? Finishing this fight.
Yeah.
Or like, or as you were saying, Lost's constant stupid cliffhangers.
Right.
So we'll find out. I don't know if this. Yeah. I mean, time will tell. We'll have to see.
I could definitely see them either like picking it up in Halo 5 or the terminals, easily. Or even maybe as something, you know, maybe another audio drama right before Halo 5 comes out.
Could be.
Maybe give it off, you know, leave it off for a few months, and then maybe in August or
right
something, you know, give us a few more episodes, maybe just like a quick 4 or something to kind of wrap up
Petra's story.
Petra's story. Yeah. Yeah, I almost called her Janet for some reason.
They're close, I guess.
Last name, Janish.
Right.
Which is Janáček, not Janáček.
It's the American pronunciation.
Yeah. It's like, I did the research and you're proving me wrong. Stop it.
That's everything comes to lore, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Butcher the names.
Pronunciations, yeah. Well, I think that's going to be it for... Well, we don't know if it's going to be it for Hunt the Truth. It may be it for Hunt the Truth. It may not be it for Hunt the Truth. If it is it, then this is going to be the last Hunt the Truth podcast. If it's not it, we'll be doing another one of these, maybe?
Possibly.
Whenever that happens.
Whenever that happens. But Toa Freak, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. Hopefully we can have you on the show again. That is not specifically Hunt the Truth, but in the off chance that there is another Hunt the Truth, it'd be nice to have you back on again. And hope to have you back on again, maybe for another like lore show. like maybe a book or something else.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to join you guys because these have been a lot of fun. And
we're glad you think
so.
We at least think they're fun and we tell people they're fun, but it's nice to hear someone else confirm on our behalf.
They are definitely fun. I promise that with absolute sincerity.
Nice. We did just get Hunters in the Dark this week. So we have another book to talk about. So we have Broken Circle, New Blood, and Hunters in the Dark that we'll be hopefully doing sometime this summer for podcast. So that'll be kind of an extension of the lore stuff. I think almost all of us are done with New Blood. I need to finish. Well, I take that back. Bio just put his head down. So he's going to finish that on the plane ride tomorrow. And we'll probably do a podcast on that after San Diego Comic-Con. Then we'll have hopefully a discussion about Broken Circle and Hunters in the Dark, which Hunters in the Dark is supposed to have some backstory behind the fourth Spartan that got revealed, Olympia Vale.
Yep.
That should be interesting.
She is a prominent character in that book.
Have you finished that book?
I have.
All right.
Holy.
I stayed up late this week. Many nights.
Very nice. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to our Hunt the Truth podcast, whether this is our last one or whether it is not. It's been a pleasure having you guys along with us for the ride. Sorry this last show is not live streamed. I know a lot of people probably would have been like, what the hell, and everything with that, but we have quite a bit of stuff to talk about regarding lore in the future. But it's been an honor, and on behalf of everyone here, thanks again for listening. Keep on fragging the truth.